good to see you today. If you don't know me, my name is Josh. You can come on up, Willie. And I'm one of the pastors here. And this morning, we have a great privilege of having Willie Topps with us. Willie and Sue are members of Wawasee Bible and missionaries in Belgium. And Willie, we've supported you since the very early days of our church, I believe, haven't we? 38 years. 38 out of 40. So that's pretty good. And as you know, the church turns 40 here in a couple weeks. But Willie, we're really glad that you can be here. I'm grateful for you, for your ministry, for your friendship. And yeah, just always, you always encourage me when you and Sue are here, and really grateful for you. So you're going to be preaching from God's word, and inadequate, but still useful. That sounds like most of us, all of us.
Amen.
And so it'll be good. Can I pray for you before
we begin? Absolutely.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for Willie. We thank you for his dear wife Sue and their ministry and their family. Pray you would speak to and through him today. Help all of us too to glean from Holy Spirit the things you've written down for us, that we would learn and apply them to our lives, that you'd be our helper today. And pray for Willie and Sue too, Lord, just as they wrap up their journey here, and I'm sure they're anxious to get home. And pray that you would bless them in these last couple days and give them safe travels back. And we look forward to hearing from your son, Willie, today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks,
thank you, brother. Good morning. I like to encourage you this morning, but I like to start first with the not-so-encouraging statement. Also, I will have questions later in the sermon, so I ask you to participate. If you're not going to do that, it's going to be a long sermon. I preached last week in a small church, and all those people sat there like, and two young kids, boy, they were with it. They answered almost everything. So I told the people, we'll take an example on those kids, you know. And so, and if you don't know the answer, then I know Pastor Josh has work for to do, you know, to get to know all that. So I'd like to get started with a text in Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. This is as an introduction to the service, to the sermon. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything now is ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I just bought a field and I must see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there's still room.' Then the master told his servants, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" We know that's a parable that Jesus was telling, but it's more than a parable. It's for us today. Banquet is ready. Tables are set, all is ready. Jesus speaks of the banquet in heaven. In Revelation, it says that. In Mark 14, it says, "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." The master sends out his servants. Hey, that's us. Servants of the Lord. You don't have to be an Einstein to come up with this. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are his servant. Amen? Now, it could be that we may not be committed, or we are committed, but you're still his servant. No, not alone the professionals. Yeah, Pastor Josh and Pastor Dave, they should do that, you know, or people with a title of deacon, of elder, or, you know. No, I believe every believer is a servant of God and should be in his service. You have no choice. That is what God wants all of us to do. And you can have many, many objections, and we're going to look at those today, you know. But we're asked to go to the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. We're asked to go to the highways and byways and the avenues and go on so that the house of God will be filled. Now, later on, I'm going to come back at this. Today, we're going to look at some examples of a big example of a man who had all the same excuses as you and I have, so that we don't have to go. You know, we're going to read a verse in Exodus, and we're going to stay in Exodus, verse 10, if we can get that, thank you. God says to Moses, "So now go on, I'm sending you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Here Moses starts. Verse 11, get this, folks. Moses says to God, "Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" You know what Moses did? Why, he was in the desert, right? And now saying to God, "God, do you really know, want that? I'm no good at that. Maybe it's still on the most wanted list of the FBI out there, you know. Why me? Why should I go?" Does it sound familiar in our own head? Why me? Why should I go? Well, we'll go on. That was verse 11. Great. Go on to verse 13. Moses says to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" You know, even the Israelites, Lord, don't believe me. They told me off the last time. They said to me, "Are you going to do the same thing that you did yesterday with that man? Are you going to do that to us? And now you're going to come with hocus pocus? With a God? Don't even know his name?" By the way, Moses did not know everything about the Jews. He wasn't raised as a Jew. He was raised in Pharaoh's court. He probably knew quite a bit, but not everything. Not the ins and the outs. It's like people driving by the church. They see the church. Yeah, the church. But unless they're part of it, participate and do, then they understand what church is all about. So obviously Moses says, "What is his name? What shall I tell them?" Just like we, when we should go, you know, what shall I tell the people? You know, do I have to do that? What shall I tell? Who am I? We'll go on to chapter 4, verse 1. God spoke to Moses who he was, and Moses said, "What if they don't believe or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to me?" And verse 2, you're not supposed to watch that, but that's one of my questions. What three signs did Moses get from the Lord? Three signs. First one. A staff. Throw on the floor. And a snake. Second one. Leprosy, your hand. They get in there, leper, you know? Third one. The Nile became blood. Water became blood. Now, I said these are signs. These are not wonders. Because the Egypt magicians did the same thing. That's for another sermon. So you get in a couple of years when I get back, you know. I've been working on that, and I've a whole sermon worked out. It's not quite finished, but on the 10 plagues of Egypt, but it's going to take an hour and a half to get through it, but that's something for later. But God gave Moses signs. Just like sometimes he gives off a sign, an inkling, an idea, something that just happens. And we have to go. Oh, God spoke to me. I read a Bible verse and it just hit me like, bang! I need to do something. Oh, Moses was very blessed. Very, very blessed. But he goes on. Chapter 4, verse 10. Fourth complaint. The Lord said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, never in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. I don't speak too well. You know that, Lord, you know. All at once, he comes out with that. Just like many of us. I don't know how to explain that. Let somebody else do it. Let Pastor Josh or Pastor Dave do it. They're much better than I am. Isn't that true in our lives? And finally, Moses comes to the end and he says, verse 13, but Moses says, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else. Not me. Somebody else can do it. I'm not good at all that. I gave you all the excuses, Lord. I'm not good. And Moses says, pardon me, Lord. Sorry. Send somebody else. It doesn't stop there, does it? Moses did go. Moses did go. But all his excuses are the excuses that we as people use today. There's one excuse he didn't use. One excuse he didn't use. And which one is that? Anybody has an idea? I'm too old. He didn't say that. Moses was about 80 years old at that particular time. Honey, it still worked for you. He didn't use that as excuse. He said, Lord, send somebody else. And that's the same with us today. I'll tell you a couple stories. You can do away with the text, that's fine. Tell you a couple stories there. Years ago, more than 45 years ago, I candidated in a church to be a preacher there. And after I preached 2-3 times, they were satisfied with that. And it was a church in Indiana, but I forget where exactly it was, northern Indiana someplace. And then there was question and answers, and I was still young, you know. And they said, there's a whole new area where they were building homes there. A lot of people came to live there. It was near to the church. And they said, if we hire you as pastor, are you willing to go and visit those people in all those homes to bring him to church so our church would grow? That was how they talked. I said, sure. Who's going with me? And it was really silent. Nobody stuck up his hand. And I said to them, well, what's the use of me going if there's no vision in this church? Needless to say, I didn't get a job. Thank God. But it's true. Got another story here. This is hurting me much more than that. I had a friend who's a doctor, who was a doctor years ago. And he told me, he said, Willie, I know the Lord asked me to go to the mission field in Africa to do things out there as a doctor, medical. I said, great. Well, he said, I only will go when my other friend, doctor, will go with me. The other friend, doctor, had no vision for that. So my friend didn't go either. I think it's one of the saddest stories. Not that he was not a good doctor, but he reneged on the calling of God. And that is sad. Hurts me. Another time he said, Willie, I have it so difficult living by faith like you guys do, wife and I. He said, I got two big freezers full of food and meat, and I got cattle. I never have a short of anything, and then living by faith. He's making up his excuses for not going. And some of you may not feel called. I'm not saying called to the mission field, okay? Try to understand me. That's not what I'm saying. Let me first do this little story here about a little girl that was captive from Israel and worked for Naaman's wife. And she said, if he only knew the prophet in Israel. That little girl opened her mouth and somebody got healed miraculously. She was a slave girl. And yet, God used her. I know a boy about ninth grade dropout. Stupid little kid. And all difficulties, but when God got a hold of him, he was able to use him. I'm going to read something out of David Tripp. Does anybody know that writer, David Tripp? See one hand there. Read something in his devotional months ago, and I really liked it. I want to share it with you. Just a little passage. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no ability to keep themselves from burning up in that fiery furnace. But the Lord preserved their lives. The disciples had no means of feeding the hungry crowd that had gathered to hear Jesus, but he fed them well with a little boy's lunch. Paul had no ability to preserve himself and those who were with him from shipwreck, but the Lord exercised his power so that none were lost. The apostles had no ability to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the known world, but the Lord gifted them and provided for them so that they could do so. You and I have no natural abilities to rise and do what God calls us to do, but he refuses to leave us to our own resources. He is not so unwise, unkind, or unfaithful as to ever call us to a task without enabling us to do it. Well, I like that text. Enjoy that. We may be inadequate. And we may have all those excuses. But you and I, whoever you are still useful in the hands of God. Look at Moses. After he said, I'm not going to do it, He did it. And he was able to see the miracles and the wonders that God did because he went. I often hear people say, yeah, Willie and Sue, you talk about the miracles that God has done in your life. We don't see it. Well, if you just start going and doing and walking with him, he's going to reveal himself to you in mighty, mighty ways. I'm convinced of that. Couple final thoughts. We get done early today. Couple final thoughts. Well, they may be longer as you think, you know, it's fine. we cry out that Jesus would come back in a world where everything is wrong, you know, and there's wars and rumors of wars and strife and prices of gasoline are so high. Please come to Belgium. We paid $11 a couple weeks before we came over, $11 a gallon. So, you know, I was very happy to come here and pay a lot less. And by the way, I was going to complain to the Lord about it, and then I realized it's all his money. He's paying for it, not you. He's paying for it. So I had to apologize to the Lord for that. So in case you're complaining about high gas prices, stop. It's not so high, and it's God's money. Don't complain. Keep going. So we cry out that the Lord would come back. Everything is bad. Well, he's coming back, and I can tell you when. You didn't know that, huh? I can tell you when the Lord's coming back. I'm not talking about pre-trip, mid-trip, post-trip, or whatever trip you want to. When the house of the Lord is filled, when all the seats are covered, the Lord says, go find them. Do that. Then is when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. We go back to Luke 14. That's what it says there. My house must be. And when the banqueting room is completed, that all the seats are assigned, and Jesus is coming back, that should be an encouragement for us to go and speak to others wherever they are, your neighbors, your family members, people at work, people you meet on the street, maybe people here in the church, I don't know. We need to go and do it. That's our mission field. It's not the ends of the earth. It's right here in Syracuse and Milford or wherever you live in this area. That is our or your mission field. And that is where God has put us to do the job. And there's no greater joy in going. And then when one person turns his or her heart to the Lord, and you there at that moment, I can tell you what's going to happen. If that's Willie's crying like crazy, crying of joy, of emotions, one more person to be at the banquet table. One more person who's saved through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not what we did, but just the fact that God used one of us. And he wants to use you. Matthew 28 says, go into all the world, preach to God. Go. Preach, teach, and baptize. I just put it together. But it's go. Don't be afraid to go. And all your excuses, you can write them down. God will answer any one of them. Yes, we are inadequate. Yes, we cannot do it. Even if you would ask Pastor Josh or Pastor Dave, they will admit they're inadequate. I'm more inadequate than they are. But God wants to use them just as he wants to use each and every one of us. And what a glorious thing when then you see the wonders and the miracles of people coming to Christ. That to me is a wonder and a miracle in itself. People having new life, forgiveness of sin, and things open up for them. Paul says, very soon my task will be over and I look forward for the crown which is before me, laid in heaven. And that should be our vision too. I got good news and bad news. We're all going to die. We can say that's good, bad news. I say that's good news. Then we are with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there going to be a crown for you? Because we did that what God asked us to do. With all our shortcomings, with all our inadequacies, with all the problems that we bring to the Lord as well, and that we take with us in our backpack. Acts 1:8 says, you shall be my disciples in Jerusalem. Second. Judea. Samaria. Ends of the earth, Syracuse, and Milford. Am I right? That means ends of the earth, isn't it? Everywhere where God has placed us. And I have to admit something. I talked about that little boy. Ninth grade dropout, he's standing here before you. God changes people. And I want to encourage you this morning to pray about that and see who you can go to and speak about the gospel. And don't take a shortcut. I've heard in the last few weeks people taking shortcuts. I tell you which one is the biggest here. Oh, we'll bring it to church. We go and ask people to come to church. That's less confrontational than talking about Jesus Christ. But boy, if we get into church, then we let Pastor Josh and Pastor Dave preach. Man, that's going to be it. As far as I know, this church has never saved anybody. Amen? And it's an excuse that we sometimes use. Oh, it's easier to ask people to come to church than talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace that he gives, the fact that he gave his life for us and that we can be sure of eternal life. But that is exactly what God wants you and me to do. And if you feel like, I don't know how to explain the gospel, ask your pastors. They will help you with that. But that is what God wants you and me to do. Inadequate, yes. But useful, that's up to you. Pastor Josh, you want to come and pray with us? Yeah. Is he in here? Oh, there he is. I'm sorry. I didn't see you.
You know, that's our mission. We're sent to love people and to invite them to follow Jesus with us. And so if you don't know Christ and you're with us today, you're invited to follow him with us. And you can join the whole group of all the messed up people here who are being made new by Christ and who are sent out to love and invite other messed up people to join us. Sound good? Let me pray. Father, thanks for Jesus. Lord, we have no hope apart from him. We have no strength in ourselves, much like Moses. Who are we? But that you call us. Jesus, you said in the garden that you're sending us just like you were sent to those who are far from you, those who are poor, those who are rich, those who have nothing, those who have everything going for them. They need you. And the way they'll meet you is through us. So would you give us courage to recognize that call and to know that you're, Jesus, you promised to be with us the whole of every moment as we go out. So help us toward that end, I pray. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for Willie. We pray your blessing on him and his wife Sue and their ministry. And would you remind us of our sentness this week, Lord? And we pray this all in Jesus' name.